I just want to share just a few words and minutes with you. You know, Jesus, of course, is the Jewish Messiah. And interestingly enough, he used a very similar picture when he was being called on by some God-fearing non-Jewish people. It's recorded in the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, and it was Passover time. And these God-fearing Gentiles had come up to Jerusalem to observe Passover with the Jewish people, and they requested a private interview with Jesus. They had heard about him. They wanted to meet him personally. By the way, they said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." I would suggest to you that that is a great motto for every human being, to want to see Jesus. I would commend these guys for seeking Jesus out, and I want to encourage everyone to always be seeking Jesus out. Look, if you don't know him as your Savior, as was pictured in the play just a moment ago, you need to seek him for that purpose. But if you are a child of God already, and he is your Savior, keep on seeking him. Keep on coming closer to him, knowing him better and better. But the passage I'm talking about in John chapter 12, these Gentiles come wanting a private interview with Jesus. I'm unsure if he ever granted that, if he ever had the opportunity to meet with them. But it sure prompted a great illustration, similar to what we just witnessed in this play. Because Jesus said to them, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." He said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn or a grain of wheat falleth into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit." It's very interesting to me that this is spoken at Passover, just days before Jesus is crucified. And the central theme of his crucifixion is him being glorified. Would you ask yourself, why is that? Why would Jesus equate being crucified on a cross, on that tree, with him being glorified? Well, the simple answer is because that crucifixion was planned. That crucifixion was planned in eternity. That wasn't an accident. He was not a martyr that was murdered there accidentally. It was all part of God's remarkable salvation plan that includes you and me. You see, sin brought death into our lives. Sin brought destruction into our experience. It's all part of what the Bible calls the curse. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned? God pronounced a curse on the serpent. God pronounced a curse on the man and the woman. That is the results of sin. And when Jesus died on that cross, you know what he did? He reversed the curse. He actually brought the solution, the answer to the curse of sin and death that is brought upon all of us. And you know how he did it? He took the curse upon himself. He became accursed for you and me. He became the cursed one in my place and in your place. The Bible says that he, the just one, Jesus, the sinless, just Son of God, he, the just one, suffered for you and I, the unjust ones, that we might receive his righteousness in place of our sinfulness. What a wonderful exchange that is. And that's the amazing salvation plan that brings God glory and is the high point, really, of Jesus's earthly ministry. He was glorified in fulfilling the plan of salvation when he became your and my substitute, suffering for the sin that you and I are guilty of. And the fact of the matter is, we'll share that glory with him one day when we receive him. But look at that verse and think about that verse that Jesus spoke, those words. Except a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. That lily bulb, you can see in some of them, they have some green shoots sticking out. This one doesn't have any green shoots. Looks like a dead thing, right? It's just brown and looks dead. That lily bulb is just a weak seed, I guess you would say. It looks like a weak, useless seed. But when you plant that thing in the ground, the outer shell of it dies. And when that outer shell of that lily bulb dies, it releases the life. When that shell rots, it releases the life of the plant that is within that shell. And what comes up is something of beauty. And of course, you get more than one. From one bulb, you get more flowers. You get beauty and bounty at the same time. When a seed dies, and that's really what planting a seed is about. When you plant a seed, you kill it. You cause that seed to die. But when that seed dies, that outer shell rots and it disappears. And out of that outer shell is released the very life of that, the germ, that seed of life is released. Jesus says, you know what? My crucifixion on that cross and my burial then in the tomb is just like a seed, just like a lily bulb that's planted in the ground. I die, my body is planted, but as a result, 3 days later, there's a resurrection and life emerges out of death. And the fact of the matter is, that is the fulfillment of the very purpose for which Jesus came originally. Paul says, Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. Jesus himself said, I have not come to be served by mankind, but I have come to serve mankind and to give my life a ransom for many. I have come, he said, to seek and to save that which is lost. And folks, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're lost. You're lost and you are dead in sin. And the truth of what Jesus is saying here is that he will give you his life. The very life that brought him out of death back into life is the life that he will give to you that will take away the spiritual death that you and I are encased in. He will remove that and spiritual life will be infused in you. The very life of Jesus, his resurrection life, will be infused into your life. And you will fulfill then the purpose for which you live. You'll fulfill the purpose for which you're on this earth. And it is that you might be saved from sin and be the recipient of the eternal life, which is Jesus himself. He goes on in that, after he says those words, he makes this warning then. He says, he that loveth his life will lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. You see, it always comes down to a choice. You can know all about what Jesus says. You can know all about what Jesus did. You can come to church on a regular basis and you can know all the truths that we just shared in summary here this afternoon. But folks, it gives each one of us have a responsibility to make a personal choice. Do you want to lose your life or do you want to gain it? If you want to gain your life, that's the right choice, by the way. And I hope that, I mean, even out of the mouths of babes, right? Out of the mouths of babes, out of the mouth of children, God ordains praise. He knows. But we are stubborn, proud people. We are, and really, we're not very smart when we choose to lose our lives for eternity instead of gaining our lives for eternity by admitting that we're dead. We're already dead. We're under a spiritual and eternal death sentence. But when we come to believe, this is why Jesus came, this is why Jesus died, this is why he rose again, because in it there is hope for life eternal. There is the plan of your sin, all of your sin. And you know what? My sin might be worse than yours. Your sin might be worse than mine. It doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on that cross has the power to cleanse, the Bible says, from all sin. But you have to trust him. You have to depend upon him for that. You have to receive him. And to do that, you got to humble yourself and you got to recognize and admit the fact, you know what? My life is going nowhere. I'm under a death sentence that not only am I going to die physically, but if I don't get right with God, I'm going to die eternally. That's what the Bible calls the second death. We don't wish that on anyone. God doesn't, he doesn't wish that on anyone. He wants you to be saved. But it comes down to that choice. Are you willing to give your life up and give it to him? Are you willing to surrender to him and let him have your life? And if you do, you can exchange your condemned, guilty, dying life for his eternal life. In fact, that's one of the names that is given to Jesus himself. He is the eternal life. So are you willing to lose your old life to gain new life in Christ? Will you make that exchange today? If so, it's very simple. You simply have to humble yourself again, admit that you are under the death sentence, that you are guilty of sin, and that you are facing an eternity banished from God's presence, separated from him forever in a place that the Bible calls hell, that God doesn't want you to go to. You're the one that would send yourself there if you do not take the life that is being offered to you today. So will you, if you haven't already, would you today? Would you say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm guilty before you. But I believe that's why Jesus came, that he came to pay my sin debt, that when he hung on that cross, he was dying for my sin. I hung him there. And Lord, I want you to forgive all my sin because I believe I'm depending upon you to be my Savior. If you'll do that, you will pass from death unto life. You'll pass out of the realm of eternal death into the realm of eternal life. You will be like that grain of wheat that falls in the ground and dies, and your life will become spiritually fruitful for all eternity. It's a blessed thing. So I will close with this. I read about some missionaries that were serving the Lord in a very, very remote place where there were none of the amenities that we would have in civilization or in an infrastructure like this. And some people from the States wanted to visit these missionaries in the place where they served the Lord. And so they planned a trip. They went on this trip and they went to encourage the missionaries and even to get help in their ministry for a brief time. During that course of being there, one of the people that were there said to the missionary, you know, you sure have buried yourself out here in this remote place. And the missionary simply replied, we haven't buried ourselves. We've been planted here. We've been planted here. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus wants to, first of all, be planted in your life. And then he wants to take your life and he wants to plant your life in smack dab in the middle of his will. Will you let him do that? Will you let God plant you where he will? Jesus is willing to become the seed plant in the ground to die so that he can offer to you and I his very life. Have you accepted that life? And if you have you surrendered to be planted in the will of God as a believer? Are you still foolishly trying to save your life, so to speak, not realizing the truth of what Jesus said? You're losing it. You're not saving it. You're losing it. And you'll hopefully will find that out before it's too late. Let's close in prayer.